do experience.
One thing I wanted to clarify after I started the influencer marketing for brand series is that a lot of, especially new brands who've never worked with an influencer, who or what is an influencer? Now, you might come across a lot of profiles online on Twitter or on Instagram, where in their bio, so the bio is where you go to instagram.com/that user's name or handle, or twitter.com/that user's name or handle, right? So when you open that page, so that is their entire profile and their feed, and on the, you know, on some section next to their photo or their mugshot will be a small set of words, which is basically called the bio. Yes, there are people who don't know what a Twitter or an Instagram bio is, which is why I'm kind of clarifying. This is still a new thing, new deal for brands or for people in general. And a lot of people who actually make decisions when it comes to influencer marketing on the side of the brand are people who are from the old guard, who don't themselves have social media accounts, which is why they don't really understand what a social media account is, and they wouldn't know, you know, when an influencer responds to an inquiry by saying, my email ID is in my bio, a lot of people don't really know what the bio is. I'm not even kidding. So in that bio, you might see someone describing themselves as an influencer. Now, this is my bio, for example, is stuff that I have written about myself. So what do I specialize in? I'm a photographer. I call myself a luxury and lifestyle photographer. I have photographed for some of the leading international luxury brands. I was probably the first photographer to do a shoot for them in India. And so I write that in my bio. But there are people who will also write the word influencer in their bio. Now, that doesn't necessarily actually make them an influencer. Even if someone who, for example, is on Instagram and has 100,000 followers, doesn't really post a lot on Instagram, they might be, for example, a music artist, right? So they have an audience and they are technically an influencer, and you can gift them stuff, or you can pay them to write about your brand or talk about your brand or pose with your brand and post an update on social media. So they would also be an influencer. The nature of the industry right now, I think, is in the sense that how does a small brand, for example, go online and say, where do I look for an influencer? How do I find an influencer? So this is another question I wanted to answer in the influencer marketing for brand series, is how do I find an influencer? Now, the first thing to do, I would highly suggest, is that you ask around your own friends. You ask around in your own entrepreneur circle. If you are a new brand, or if you've been around for a while and you want to try this out, ask other brands or friends that you have in the industry who might have engaged with an influencer earlier. And write down those names, check out their profiles, etc. Do a bit of research and pick two or three to work with to start off. And then expand your network. You don't necessarily have to work with people that your friends have worked with. It's possible that they probably haven't worked with, you know, influencers who might be ideal for your brand. But like I have mentioned a lot of times earlier, this is a lot of experimentation and trial and error. And you will go through some people who might not have been relevant for your brand, which is how you'll actually find where you're getting value from. So start with your smaller, intimate circle of people. Ask them for recommendations. And then check out those people's profiles and decide on the basis of that. Don't just say, okay, so-and-so worked with X, so I also have to work with X. Check out their profile, see how they engage with their audience. Look at the quality of, you know, what kind of, unfortunately, either if you, again, not unfortunately, but if you're looking for a regional language blogger, then it's different. But if you're looking for someone who has an international reach and you want to be on that platform, the English needs to be good. They need to know how to string a sentence together that makes sense. There are no grammatical errors, there are no spelling errors, etc. You need to work with someone who has good photography skills. You know, the images need to look nice. You can't just have, imagine you've created this amazing product. You've put in months and months of prototyping and research into it. You already have a fair set of clients, customers who order from you, and now you want to take it to the next level. And, you know, you reach out to somebody who makes your product look like shit. You need to work with somebody who makes your product look aspirational. I'm not talking about retouching or lying or misrepresenting, but I'm just saying that a simple photograph of your product where someone actually, while scrolling through Instagram, is like, oh, hey, wait, that looks nice. Because Instagram, for example, or even on a blog, these are visual platforms. It's not just about you know, reading. For example, I am a photographer. So my blog, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, for me, these are places where I showcase my visual skills on how do I see things as a photographer? How do I interpret something that the client has given me into, you know, a visual? What is my visual aesthetic and how am I able to represent a brand based on that, for example? So you need to have someone who can create good images for you, for example. You need to have someone who understands that it is not just a one-time gig and that they need to, you know, talk about your brand more. It's not just about, okay, one post, you've paid me, bye-bye. It's about actually setting up a relationship. Maybe, you know, when they come and meet you for the first time, they want to take a selfie and post it and talk about you. It's not everything is like that. I mean, these are human relationships that we make. You never know, the client, the person might turn out to be a long-term client for you, bring in regular revenue for the influencer. So I think it's a very professional thing for someone. This is what you do, right? As an influencer, this is what I do. I talk about others. I talk about, you know, other stuff. I talk about what people are doing. That's what I do. So I do that any which ways. I like getting paid for it, but I'm anyways going to do it because I like, you know, I like introducing new things to my audience. If it's a new brand, if it's a new person I've met, if it's a new location, it's a new, you know, new food, new makeup, new clothes. I like being like, oh, wow, you know, I found this really great product and it'll be so cool if I shared it with everyone. And that's how it kind of started, blogging or, you know, influencing in that sense. Now, in the early days, I used to think that, oh my God, how can anyone call themselves an influencer? But how do brands search for an influencer in that sense? Larger agencies might have databases that they've created, but even those databases are not updated regularly. Some influencers fall off the face of the earth and are not blogging anymore. How are those databases updated? You might, you know, an agency might offer to you and say that, hey, we have a database of like 5,000 influencers, for example, from all over India. You'll still have to sit and sift through and see and visit each one separately and see which one is relevant, is still active. Is it even, you know, someone that you want to work with, for example? So I would suggest that you start small and maybe Google for, you know, influencer or search on Instagram. Use hashtag search on Instagram, hashtag influencer, hashtag influencers, hashtag blogger, hashtag influencer marketing and things like that. And follow other brands that are in your same category. See who they are working with. You know, by taking a look at what the influencer is doing for other brands, you can kind of gauge what kind of work ethic they have. So the best way to do is word of mouth. You have to talk to people and see what was most relevant for them. Who are the influencers that, for example, you know, if you have a teenager living in your house, who are they following? If your audience is, you know, teenagers, if your final customer is a teenager, who are those teenagers following? Who do they look up to? Why do they follow them? That's an influencer. And maybe you can consider working with them. So that's an organic way of doing it. I think in the long run, that will give you the best results. There are platforms that kind of cater to lists. But again, you won't find all influencers on them. And a lot of really relevant ones who are actually important for you know, your brand or actually who do good work probably are not on these platforms. I haven't signed up on a lot of these platforms because it just, for these platforms, it's a way of them to sell that database list and make money, which I'm not ethically opposed to it. I just don't want to be part of that list. So I haven't signed up to many of these. I know many senior bloggers who haven't signed up to these. And I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with them, but I'm just saying that it's an option. So you can look at that as well. Otherwise, publicly available lists, not so much. Again, a lot of the influencers that will be suggested to you will probably not fit the bill for what you have in mind. So again, trial and error, experiment, see, make your own list. Make an Excel sheet, say that, okay, this is their name, this is the link to their blog. Do they even have a blog? What are the blog page views that you're getting? Start with maybe 50 and then take it from there and you refine. Every time you find someone new, add it, etc. And if you're feeling generous, maybe make that list public. I had tried initially, I think maybe 3 or 5 years ago when blogging and influencing was like a brand new thing in India. I had done a blog post called Lifestyle Bloggers and Influencers in India. People still come and look at that post. I had shared an Excel sheet, a Google sheet publicly, and it's really outdated. It's really old. There were like 10 people who were doing this in that year. So it's not even relevant anymore. But people still come to that because there really isn't a database available publicly. And the only solution, not I mean, going to an agency is not the only solution for this. If you're a small brand who doesn't work with a PR agency and doesn't have a budget to work with a digital agency, for example, you don't necessarily have to think that, oh, I can never work with influencers because I don't know who they are. But seriously, just Google it. I mean, the number of people who ask me questions every day, what is this, what is that? I'm like, first of all, you should go to my blog post. I have answered that question in the blog post. Secondly, first ask Google, because I really can't sit and answer questions to like 40, 50,000 people. Not that so many people are asking me questions. I mean, if they did, that would be pretty cool. But then you can kind of sense a pattern and I can just do one podcast episode and everyone can listen to it and that would be that. But that doesn't usually happen. People get really irritated when I say, Google it, question mark. And, oh, that wasn't very obvious to me. Well, if it wasn't obvious, you should have not asked me. You should just Google it. So there's, you can really literally just Google it. And you can, you know, look for keywords. Are you looking for a lifestyle blogger? Are you looking for a travel blogger? Are you looking for a blogger who's already, or an influencer who's already worked with, you know, a certain category of product? You can see what, like I said, in your category, what are the other brands doing? And you can, you know, pick names from there, for example. Now, again, the problem there is that you might end up with people who just keep getting hired again and again because everyone knows of them, but they are not really adding value to your brand, which, like I said, it's a bit of an experiment, trial and error. Check it out. And if you know how to look for influencers or find influencers, share it publicly, because I think the more you share, the, you know, the cream will rise to the top. You will, if you have a public list to share, others will make use of that. Maybe they will be inspired to share their own list publicly. And the whole community grows and gets better like that. So that kind of brings me to the end of part one of things to consider before you even get to working with an influencer. Influencer marketing for brands. This is the note card I kind of made. And the things that we have covered so far are things like your own brand, packaging and design needs to be sorted. Ideally, you should have your own personal social media account so that you have an idea of how it works, you know, how to understand each platform, what are the advantages of several ways of posting on each platform, etc. You need to know what your campaign is, what your campaign goal is going to be. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to sell more product? Are you trying to get people to come to your blog or your own website, to your e-commerce store? What is the goal of the campaign that you have in mind? And yes, you need to determine this before you reach out to influencers. Then you need to think about content reuse strategy. Whatever content the influencers are creating for you, how are you going to reuse it? How are you going to put it to use? You need to understand what licensing is for images as well as for the text that they write for you. Is it shared licensing? If it is, then what kind of licensing are you getting? Can you use those photographs for advertising? Or is it only for internal PR and marketing? Can you only use it on your website? Can you use it in print, etc., etc.? Then you need to know how to measure. Measure in the sense that, first of all, you need to know how many deliverables will there be. So you measure those. And then how are you going to measure the effects of the influencer marketing campaign? Now, I have already talked about this earlier, so you'll probably have to go back and listen to the last, I think, 6 or 7 episodes. And under each episode's name, I've written down what the top heads are that are being discussed in that. So you can find it like that. Obviously, you need to know deliverables. Are you looking for social media updates? Are you looking for a blog story? In which case, how are you going to set out what the story is going to be? Images, text, etc. So those deliverables, video or no video. You need to also know what are the relevant channels in that sense, which comes back to the same thing. Do you want to post on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook? Should it be on YouTube? Should it be on a blog? Should it be on your company's blog or should it just be on the influencer's blog? So you need to understand what the relevant channels will be. You need to know what your engagement strategy will be. Once people start responding to what the influencer has posted, what are you going to say? Are you going to say something or is the influencer going to say something? How are you going to deal with inquiries and questions about your brand, if any, are received from the influencer's audience? The next thing was, of course, budgets and gifting. How do you decide what budgets are good? Is gifting a good strategy or not? Can it help? What are the chances of gifting actually working? Things like that. Then, of course, influencer relationship management. How are you going to maintain a relationship with the influencer once your influencer marketing assignment is closed because you might want to work with them in the future, in which case they should not forget about you. And it gives them a chance to talk about you, even though you're not technically paying them to talk about you, but they might include you in an Insta story and say, hey, you know, I got this stuff, or I met this person and I've done this gig with them. It's a way for the influencer to remind other brands that, hey, you know, I've done this also. So if you're in the same category, I can also do it for you, etc. So it can work like that. And today what we talked about, how to find influencers. And one of the things also was, you have to consider, why will an influencer work with you? Now, before you get on to the next stage, the next stage is where I talk about actually reaching out to influencers and then what do you do. You need to, like, you know, why does a customer buy your product? Similarly, why will an influencer work with you? So the no-brainer of, you know, having a quality product is imperative. You need to have a good quality product. You need to have good branding. If your product is not good, then, you know, an influencer might work with you once because you're paying them. So they'll be like, okay, I mustn't leave money on the table, for example. But the second time, they might not be so happy to work with you, or they might ask you for more money, because that's what sometimes they feel, that, you know, at least if I'm getting paid, I don't mind doing this. I mean, a lot of the good influencers who have been around for a while and who have a reputation will anyways not work with you if they don't like your product. And because it's misrepresentation, right? Like, my audience will come to know immediately if I'm lying about something. If I don't like something, I can't put up. It's like, oh, hey, this product is so awesome. No, it doesn't work like that anymore. Audiences are really, really smart. Marketing and advertising isn't just about something you show on television that a celebrity is holding and suddenly the whole janta is going to be like, oh, ye, you know, some so-and-so celebrity saying it, to achha hi hoga. No, it doesn't work like that anymore. And, you know, all of us are like micro-celebrities in the sense that, not that we are famous, but that we have a circle of influence, and, you know, our audiences have made us. Without the audience, brands would not be working with us. There are people who trust us, influencers, I mean, and listen to what we have to say. If there is advice that we give, like yesterday on my, not yesterday, 2-3 days ago on my Insta, I talked about the skin routine that I use, chemical peels, etc. Where do I get those chemical peels from? They're not even a paid client of mine, but it's something that I find of use, and I thought it would be nice to share it with my audience, and so I did. And that kind of stuff. I mean, it needs to, for an influencer, it needs to be a mix of paid, non-paid. 90% of the stuff on all my channels is not paid, because this is anyway stuff that I love doing, as I've said a million times already. So this was part one of things to consider when getting into influencer marketing from a brand's perspective. I am taking questions all the time, and if there's something specific you want to know, you would like to ask, you know, if you've seen an influencer doing something and you have questions on how that worked, if you would like me to talk about some of my assignments that I've done earlier, like a kind of a case study, do you think you would want to do that? If you are interested in listening to something like that, I can do that without disclosing any pertinent details. But I can tell you how it worked, how they got in touch with me, and, you know, what all I delivered, what were the results, if any. Like, I have one really amazing case study where I work with a bag brand, and they have had some fantastic results, like actual sales of bags from all over the world, not just India. So that kind of stuff, I mean, I can talk to you about it. I don't think I need to sell it to anyone anymore, because, I mean, it works. I think it's pretty obvious by now that this shit works, especially if you work with someone who's good at what they do. And so thanks for listening, and we will come back to the second phase of influencer marketing for brands.